Intervju Radija Študent.
Pred njegovim današnjim nastopom v kinu Šiška sva se z Mekom Dimarkom pogovarjala o njegovi turneji, njegovih dveh albumih in o njegovih izkušnjah, ki so do drugega albuma pravzaprav sploh privedle. Sedela sva pred kinom na kavi in se pogovarjala med drugim tudi o tem, kako sva utrujena in prehlajena, ampak Mek Dimarko pravzaprav slovi predvsem po svojih bizarnih in divjaških nastopih, o katerih pa pravzaprav ni hotel kaj preveč povedati, razen tega, da bomo poslušali predvsem njegove stare komade, ker za nove pač nima časa. Poslušajmo. Ok, so, Mek Dimarko, this is, as far as I know, your first tour in Europe, is that true?
No, we actually did one in December. It was a little bit shorter though, and we didn't come this far east, so...
I see.
Yeah, so we're doing a couple different countries this time, and not all the places we played last time, so... It's cool. It's like a different tour altogether.
Mm-hmm. But it's with the same band, isn't it?
Yeah, my band is the same, and then we're also touring with my friend Sean Nicholas Savage, who's from Montreal as well. So there's a bunch of us in the van this time, which is cool.
And how long have you been in Europe this time?
I think it's coming up on 7 or 8 days, maybe one or two more or less. I'm not really. Kind of gets hard to remember at a point.
So it's been tough on you, or not so much?
It's a little bit tough. I mean. It's not so bad. It's nice coming over here because people feed you, people are nice to you.
Uh-huh.
You get a hotel every night. It's a lot easier than, like, say, in the States where it's like, yo, can we sleep at your house, please? So, I'm not dying or anything. It's fine.
So you've kind of gotten used to being treated like a rock star.
I wouldn't say that, but...
I guess not.
Not at all.
I wouldn't believe you.
Most of the time when we're touring, it's like I'm sleeping on like a hardwood floor, so...
Mm-hmm.
It's nice being like, you know, treated like a normal human being over here.
Tell me about your band, please. I mean, as far as I know, you have some guys in it that have played with you before with Makeout Videotape.
All the guys that I'm playing with are old friends of mine, and actually all three of them played in some different weird incarnation of Makeout Videotape. It was like, cause that band, it had a couple members that would stick around for, you know, longer periods of time, but then I'd just switch it up all the time. So yeah, they all played with me at one point. I've known a couple of them for maybe 5 or 6 years, and then one of them I've known since I was 15 or something, so it's been a while.
But you've been playing regularly or professionally since you've been, what, 18 or something, so it must have been like 5 or 6 years or...
Yeah, I guess, I don't know if it's professionally, but I've definitely been playing shows since I was, like, steadily since I was 18, which is, yeah, maybe even 17 I started playing a lot of shows. But it's been a long time of playing shows. I'm still not bored of it, which is great.
Are there any other connections between the two bands other than the same people playing in both? I mean, how do you view those two projects? Are those kind of separate entities? Was it an organic growth kind of thing? Or did you at a point just say that you want to do something different?
How do you view it? It was kind of the same thing for me, because Mega Videotape was always me recording at home anyway. And then, I made a weird album that didn't really sound like Makeout Videotape.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't really like the band name Makeout Videotape, so it just seemed like a good, you know, segue or something to change the band name. Because it was kind of funny using a band name when it was just me the whole time anyway. It kind of gave people the wrong impression. Although now it's kind of weird having four guys playing.
And
they're like,
what
band are you in? And they're like, Mac DeMarco. Which is like, I'm sure pretty strange for them, but... I don't know, they all have their own thing going on, so it's fun.
The material you mentioned that was kind of strange and that pushed in a different direction, was it the one that ended up on Rock and Roll Nightclub?
Yeah, that stuff. It was definitely a lot stranger than anything I'd done before. And it's funny because that's the one that turned out to get, you know, put on the internet on all these blogs, and a whole bunch of people in the States and overseas heard it. because Capture Tracks picked it up, which was great. It was just kind of strange that that's the first glimpse of what everybody gets to see of me. So it's like, oh, he wears lipstick. That's weird. It's like, no, I don't do it all the time.
Yeah. Well, yes, not all the time, but you do it sometimes or what? I mean, you have all those weird videos out. So yeah. What kind of impressions do people get from that? I mean,
I don't know. I guess
it's all a part of you.
Yeah, they just think I'm a freak, I think. But I mean, I guess it's my fault. And I don't mind either. It's.
Would you agree with them?
Maybe a little bit. I think I'm a lot normaler than a lot of people think, but.
Now that you're in Europe.
You never know. Anything weird can happen anywhere, I figure. It just depends on the circumstances.
So how did the Rock and Roll Nightclub album come about? I mean, what changed in your perception of music or something?
I mean, I've been trying to write this another album, like the next Make Out Videotape album or whatever, and I wasn't, like, I'd record these songs, I'd be like, oh, this is an okay song, but, like, I don't really care. Like, it's not blowing me away or anything, so I just got bored and stopped playing shows as Make Out Videotape for a while and just kind of weaned off of it, and eventually I got really sick in Montreal with tonsillitis and kind of got, I had to, like, hole up in my house. There was, like, nothing I could do. I couldn't eat or anything, and it was, like, terrible. And somewhere in that, like, being really sick, I just kind of, like, instead of going out and hanging out with my friends, I was like, I guess I'm just going to go in the studio and screw around. Like, you know, I was, like, so, like, malnourished and, like, tired all the time. But I guess this weird album where I, like, only sang, like, yo, baby. Like, I guess it just came out. And I made, like, that Rock and Roll Nightclub was the first song of that, like, vein that got recorded, and then from there I was like, whoa, this is kind of funny, kind of sweet, like, and I started having fun doing music again, so it was a little bit rejuvenating for me, I guess.
So the next one then was a logical step forward for you.
Yeah.
Number two.
Yeah, it was like, oh, well, I guess, you know, it was kind of hard dealing with the, oh, he's a lipstick wearing, like, cross-dressing freak Elvis person, so thought I'd switch it up. I wasn't sure if everybody would, you know, a lot of people would be like, what the hell's this, like, this second album, like, he's singing all high and stuff, but, like, people seem to like it too, so I'm not worried. It was cool that, you know, people let me transition back to how I was before, I guess.
I think that people love the second album.
Yeah.
I mean, I do. I think it's a really great album.
Thank you.
But tell me something about the music scene in Montreal, if there is anything like that.
There's definitely
would you say that you're part of a scene?
I don't know, that's the thing. I mean, there's definitely, I'm friends with tons of bands, but more than I feel like I'm, like, in a scene with them, I just feel like they're my friends, and it just so happens that they make, like, a lot of them make really great music, but I don't know, it's different, because when I moved to Vancouver, I would meet people strictly because I was playing shows with them, and, like, I would know them, oh, that person's in this band, and, like, we're playing with them sometime, you know, and then I became friends with them later, but Montreal just feels a little bit different. I don't feel like it's driven by a scene or, like, as connected to the community or something, so it's a little different, but it's cool, and the great thing about Montreal is it's very cheap for kids to come and live there, so a lot of kids from all over Canada end up there, so it's kind of like a, you know, mishmashed scene, not necessarily made out of kids that have grown up there.
Is that what you did?
Yeah, exactly. Like, I moved there because it was cheap, and that meant that I could stay at home and record a lot more than having to work a shitty job, so yeah, it makes sense for a lot of kids like me, I guess, in a way.
I read somewhere that you mentioned Jonathan Richman as one of your influences.
Yeah, I love Jonathan.
I'm always really happy to when I hear someone say that. Mm-hmm. When, for instance, Herman Dune, do you know him? It's a French singer or a French band or something. He's, like, in love with Jonathan Richman and Dylan from the 80s. You know, you gotta be a real freak to appreciate that kind of music.
Yeah.
So when I listen to your music, I kind of perceive it as great music done by someone who doesn't really take himself so seriously.
Yeah, it's true. I don't. That's one of my things. Is I've always been kind of turned off by, like, you know. Well, maybe it's just that I could never be that cool. But you see some bands that are like, I'm the coolest guy ever. Like, I'm going to pick up all the chicks, write the coolest rock song, play the loudest guitar. And for me, I'm just kind of like, you know, I'm not trying to be cool or sexy or anything. I'm just trying to do, you know, have fun. And if having fun means goofing off, then I'm going to goof off. You know what I mean? I don't care what anybody thinks, really. It's not a, you know, it's just having fun.
Is, by the way, is Kiki here with you?
She's not.
Is she a real person?
Yeah,
yeah, Kara. Okay.
She just moved out of our apartment in Montreal, and she's actually going to meet up with me in Berlin because she's going to visit her sister, so very excited.
And one more thing, when I heard you talking earlier, I thought that maybe it's your voice on Rock and Roll Nightclub that does the jingle.
Is it?
Yeah.
Yeah, it is.
That's a funny thing to put on an album, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, distances you even more from the...
thing is, what happened with that is I had all the songs pretty much together. And I was like these songs, because some of them sounded very similar, and then some of them sounded like kind of like, what the hell are these doing on the album? And, you know, I've had a lot of albums where the songs don't really match up and feel like a concise album. So what I thought was, oh, I'll just take the ones that sound like this. That'll be like the weird classic rock station. And I'll just change the channel. And then you got the Bossa Nova station. Worked okay, I think. I had fun making those radio segues too. It was sweet.
How did it work out with the second album? And was it did you know in advance that the songs were going to flow so well together?
I didn't really know. I just kind of... I mean, I think some of those songs probably could have even been on Rock and Roll Nightclub, but I definitely just tried to, I don't know, I think it's because I did them all, I wrote them all at the same time, and I recorded them all at the same time, and they were all like, I don't know, they flowed pretty well together. I think it's just because they were all, yeah, they all came up at the same time, except for the last song, Together, that's an older song, but I just threw that on there for, you know, shits and giggles or whatever, but... I don't know. I think it's when something's actually made as a thing, like an album's made as a thing, it feels like a one thing, as opposed to if I had albums where I'll do like four songs here, 5 months pass, four songs here, 5 months pass, four songs here. Then it's kind of like, these all sound different. It's weird. And like the vibe is totally different on all of them. So.
So how long did it take for you then to record this album?
I think probably about a month and a half from the demoing, like writing the songs to the final recordings. Not that long. It was weird because it was the first time I had like a deadline. Capture Tracks was like, well, it wasn't a deadline. It was like, it's more or less like how indie labels work, where they're like, well, if you want this to come out like sometime before you're dead, like you're going to have it done by now. And I was like, I don't want to wait like a whole another year for my album to come out. So sat down and like really hammered it out. You know what I mean? It was good though. It made me work way harder than I ever have before.
Have you planned to put two albums out in the same year?
I didn't plan that year. I was planning to do it this year. I wanted to do the same thing where I could do like a full album EP, so it wouldn't get that much press, but it would just come out, and then another full-length album. But I didn't realize that we'd be touring as much as we would this year, and it's there's just no time. So
to write new songs.
There's no time, especially the way we tour. I mean, a lot of bands can like, I'm in the back of the van or in the hotel writing a song. Like, we're either
this
like,
is what we hear about people, right?
Yeah, I don't know. I have no idea how people do that. Like, we're driving like 8 hours a day, and like I'm the one that's driving, except for here. We have like a driver here because I wouldn't want to, you know, screw around on these roads. It's all crazy, but. Yeah, it's like I'm driving, or I'm playing, or I'm like partying with kids and hopefully getting them to let us stay at their house. So there's no time for like sitting down and being like, yeah, that's, oh, okay, there's the melody. Okay, you know, it's just not really the way I work. Maybe it works for some people, but not for this guy.
But you're definitely thinking about recording new material soon or not? I mean, oh yeah,
I've been trying to do it since we got off a tour at around Christmas time, like since the last European tour. I was like, damn, I just want to get back in the studio. Then I tried to get back in, but we had to keep leaving. I'd be in there for like 4 days, and we go to New York, 4 days go to Chicago, 4 days go to Toronto or something to play shows. And as soon as you like break up the like mental thing where you're in, especially because it's putting myself under this pressure where I'm like, come on, man, like we got to do this album. And then you break up that time with these weird little shows or whatever, and it just kind of like takes you out from whatever you'd achieved in your, like, you know, your workspace or whatever. So yeah, it just didn't really work out, but I've got like a pretty much the whole summer blocked off with no shows, so I'm gonna hopefully get a spot somewhere and just sit down and not leave, you know what I mean?
I have the feeling that since your second album has really has a real signature sound, kind of, that it wouldn't be too hard for you to record number three that would sound exactly like number two, just with different songs on it.
Yeah, I could probably use a lot of the same stuff, but I would find, because some of the demos that was working on before I left, I tried. I was like, oh, I remember how to record the way I did too. Like, just try and do that sound again. Then I did it, and I was like, this is so boring for me, at least. I'm sure other people would be like, yeah, yeah, more songs like that. But Nah. As soon as I even thought of doing that, I was like, I gotta switch it up. This is way too stupid. So I don't know. It'll be different, I think. I'm not sure how, but it's gonna sound a lot different.
But tonight you'll be playing songs from both albums, or even older ones.
Not too many older ones, but both albums definitely. Yeah.
Any new songs?
No new songs. No, afraid not. I always feel bad when I have to say no. But
no, don't worry. Old songs will sound like new songs to most of us. You know.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, I think this is it. This is kind of enough.
Cool.
Intervju Radija Študent.